Hi, and welcome to Jolly Spring 2017 podcast series. This is Nick Thompson, co-principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today I'm speaking with Susie Parson and Robin Fuchsa from the Oklahoma State University about the study they did with Farrell Kander and Dana Hardy. Their manuscript is titled Representations of Adoption in Contemporary Realistic Fiction for Young Adults. Susie and Robin, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to hearing more about your piece. First, will you tell me a little bit about what drew you to this project?
Hi, Nick. Absolutely. This project started actually when I was out observing in an elementary school. And as a parent, I have at home one child whom we adopted and another to whom I gave birth. And my youngest was trying to start to wrap her brain around, well, what does it mean that my brother was adopted? So I was sitting in the library and got a little curious. I thought, you know what, I wonder what books are in this public school library that feature adoption, adoptive families, and I got into the catalog. And I was struck by not only how few books there were, but by the fact that when I read the synopsis of each book in the catalog, book after book after book seemed to frame adoption as a problem to be solved. And so I wanted to know more. I wanted to know what the bigger picture was and what children like my children and other children would see about adoption when they pulled books out of their library.
Great. As you noted, two of the authors in this paper were adoptive parents, yourself included. I'm assuming that many adoptive parents were not themselves adopted. What role do cultural representations play in parenting when their parents identify differently than their children?
This is Susie. You know, there really is not an adoptive parent identity, you know, of course. But cultural identity is definitely a significant aspect of multicultural families and something that adoption brings to the forefront. So in the books that we explored, those multicultural adoptions in particular offered a space for exploring culture. In deft hands, this can be a very positive, critical exploration. For instance, some of our books, When the Black Girl Sings, Whale Talk, A Brief Chapter in My Impossible Life, Kimchi and Calamari, these books offered rich cultural experiences, questioning that was productive, generative. But in others, the presentation seemed to use adoption as really a dramatic vehicle, and especially these cultural connections in a very exploitive way. So we feel like the weaving of that entire piece must be respectful to allow that space for us to explore cultural identity.
Thanks. If adopted kids read YA literature, what misconceptions about that part of their identity might they be likely to see?
This is Susie again. You know, they're likely to get the impression that adoption is inherently a problem, or at least that others perceive it that way. If you were adopted, in other words, you and your family are going to have issues. The vision is you're less than, perhaps incomplete or broken, that maybe you have a missing piece that you've got to find, or perhaps that your birth parents were somehow less than. They're often portrayed in these books as a potential danger to the family or reckless or immature. Certainly these things happen, but we found that they were grossly overrepresented in the literature. Gender was another issue. When we looked at the gendering, especially from the birth parent perspective, the message of, hey, if you're a male, you're somewhat irrelevant in this adoption story.
You wrote, and I'll quote you, indeed, the reasons and intentions behind the narrative may be conscious or unconscious, making our task all the more urgent. Will you talk a little bit about the urgency you feel around this work?
Yes, this is Robin. And we really felt like identity formation, both in individual and culture, is one of those familiar experiences of adolescence So for children who are adopted, there are layers of identity, something we purposefully and verbally have celebrated. So within our sociocultural view of adoption, recognizing that complexity, but importantly, not as an inherent barrier to growing up healthy. We really believe that YA-Lit has a powerful role in helping youth explore the possibilities of their lives, shape perceptions about oneself and others. So as we're reading, we're thinking about readers who have a personal connection and those who do not, those insider and outsider perspectives. So this urgency is toward a climate of respect, inclusion, and approach to writing, publishing, and reading that recognizes that adoption is an aspect of diversity. So it reminds us of Fox and Short's work in Stories Matter, where each contributor really explores the way writing within one's own perspectives is different than the level of care that one must take. In some senses, the sort of extra research one has to carry out that's required when writing outside one's own cultural experiences. So we feel like we want to urge authors, publishers to do their homework in a sense and make sure they're taking care to share stories respectfully.
That's a great point. In the section titled Adoption as a Social Context, you wrote, and I'll quote you again, "Adoption challenges dominant notions of family and opens the door to conversations about culture and social identities, including race, religion, gender, sexual identity, and social class." The intersectionalities that you describe are fascinating. In what ways do other social identities in the books that you analyze add to the depiction of adoption?
This is Robin. So whether we were looking at whether the text addressed issues of race and ethnicity, sexual orientation with LGBTQ families, single grandparents, grandparents raising children, foster families, cross-cultural experiences, religion, gender, socioeconomics, those varied stories have potential of helping us really explore the complexity of what it means to be human beings together in family. And so when those are misrepresented and there are stereotypes, that drama for the sake of drama, those important conversations get sidelined, trivialized, or even very much distorted for the reader.
Great. In the introduction to your article you wrote, and I'm going to quote you again, "A funhouse reflection that distorts or misrepresents identity or experience can be highly problematic, particularly when this distortion is repeated across multiple texts." Can you expand upon this?
This is Robin. Absolutely. Any image that's repeated again and again across the literature gains strength as the norm, the reality that readers may take away. So when recurring images of adoption are anomalies and distortions, and especially when those distortions play directly into common stereotypes in the broader media, that result is truly problematic images of adoption and adopted families for the readers.
Thank you. One last question. In your recommendations for how to choose literature, you suggest to select books that explore adoption rather than exploiting it as a dramatic context. Can you tell me a little bit more about the difference between those two positions?
This is Susie. Certainly. Adoptive families, like all families, have challenges and joys. Adoption is part of the complexity. It adds a layer to the family experience. But there's a real richness there, too. Our concern is that throughout the literature, it's often seen, this complexity, this layeredness, is often seen as a deficiency. In many of these books, we saw that the narrative goes past real-life circumstances to melodrama, almost a soap opera level. And in these instances, what we would see as outlying experiences, for instance, illegal adoptions or disruptive birth parents, things like that, are really exploited for intense drama. So the drama draws the reader in. It keeps the reader on the edge of their seat. But much in that drawing in, they can prompt or reinforce very stereotypical ideas about adoption and families in general. We're really excited that authors are writing about this topic. We want to make sure, though, that adoption is viewed as a diversity and that care is given to it in the same way that we hope to approach race, religion, or any other profound experience in human life.
Thank you, too. Listeners, if you want to know more about my guest work, you can find the full manuscript in Jolly's Spring 2017 issue that is themed Out of the Box and Into the Margins. This has been Nick Thompson, co-principal editor of Jolly. Thank you for listening.